We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big Drive Energy Winner's Circle Monday here on a Monday in late March. We're going to talk about some March Madness. We're going to talk about the Valspar Championship, Peter Malnati getting a huge victory for his career, Nelly Korda winning on the LPGA Tour. We're also going to talk a little DP World Tour. Mitchell's got some DP World Tour fun facts for us. He's dug into the archives of the DP, and he's ready to roll with some fun facts. We also have a new segment called Blacklisted. We are going to be adding, we have one player on it. We had to start with a player on it. Now we're going to add another one. It's basically just a guy that we're never putting our money on again. This list will get very long very quickly because it can be big with our betting card each week. And we're also going to do a weekly mulligan of the week. I have multiple options to choose from this week, but we'll see if maybe some of them make the cutting room floor. Then we can discuss. All right, let's tee it up.
And hello, friends. Welcome to this tradition unlike any.
Was that true? Did somebody scream mashed potatoes?
That was mashed.
March Madness is upon us. Well, give me your overall take on the first week, first 4 days of games, because really, there's only one double-digit seed left in the entire Sweet 16.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit more boring than I... Not boring. There's always some good games. It's March Madness, but there was definitely not as much drama as anticipated. I know that Auburn wrecked everybody's bracket. Auburn was like the Ken Pom, Diaper Dandy, Dick Vitale voice. They were like the quintessential middle seed favorite. Were they a five or a four?
Four seed.
And they just looked like dog shit.
Lost to
Yale. Yeah. Well, dude, and that's the shitty thing is, like, you got Yale, you got Oakland, you got a few of these Cinderella-looking teams. They go to the round of 32 and lose by, like, 40 points. So it's either a testament to how good the top end is, because, like, UConn's a wagon, Houston's a wagon, Purdue looks great. You know, there's a lot of very good teams, but it's like we need a little bit more fight out of these young dudes. Like the Golkey, is his name Brad? Jack? I think it's Jack Golkey. That shit was electric as hell.
Dude, like, did you see how quick he got an NIL deal? He was filming a fucking State Farm commercial in the next hotel the next morning.
Well, so he told the story, his buddies, like right after the game, they basically said, we'll just set you up an email and start fielding NIL deals for you. And within 10 minutes after the game, they were all fielding his NIL deals for him. And he was recording, like, was it Progressive or some insurance bullshit? But either way, he's getting a bag. So good for him. I mean, all he does is shoot threes, which I love, just firing from the hip. And he even said, like, it almost gives me Jamal Murray vibes because I've always thought that Jamal is better at shooting contested, like, off-balance shots than, like, wide-open shots. And Golkey, he said in an interview this morning that he actually feels like he's a much better shooter off balance with a guy in his face than wide open.
Yeah, there's guys that just have that, that he's got that dog in him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got. And like when he said we're not a Cinderella, that shit gave me fucking goosebumps. I was like, that is electric. And then they went out.
And then they go out and lose to an 11
seed. Get rolled. NC State is legit, though.
DJ Burns is junior. Is my favorite player in this fucking tournament.
He is awesome. He's the Audi Crooks of men's basketball. Like those two are just taking March by storm. But actually, what was I going to say about DJ Burns? Oh, so this is my going back to last week, the reverse psychology. Follow me here. So NC State, everybody says when a team like that runs the table in the conference tournament and goes on to win, they always shit the bed in the tournament. So then everybody was on that. So then I was like, so everybody's on them because in a bubble, they're hot. NC State's a hot team after winning the ACC tournament, blah, blah, blah. But then everybody goes to the other side of, oh, they're actually going to choke because everybody's on them. So then I reversed that again. And then I was on NC State. Like in one of my brackets, I had got them going to, I think, the Elite Eight. Oh, so I was on the right side of that one. For as many of the picks I was on the wrong side of, NC State was one of my dark horses to make it a long way.
Yeah, the one bracket I do, you have to fill it all out, obviously.
Oh, no shit.
But it's like a Excel spreadsheet run by an older dude, super old school. My kind of shit. My kind of old school gambling. But he does let you pick a sleeper team. And so a 9 through 16 seed, and you get extra points every time they win a game. And NC State was my sleeper team.
Oh, okay.
And so they're the only team that has made it this far that was a quote-unquote sleeper of a 9 through 16 seed. So I feel pretty good about that, although I believe I had maybe Kansas and Auburn in the Final Four in that one. So I got fucked. I got fucked by Marissa Zags. I didn't realize Gonzaga 9 straight years in the Sweet 16. That's impressive.
That is longevity. And they actually consistently outperform. I think they've outperformed their seed in the NCAA tournament more than like anybody in the last two decades.
Yeah, Mark Few's got it, the life.
But 100%. But I almost feel like Gonzaga is better off being a higher seed than like a lower seed, however you want to look at it. I feel like they're better off as like a 3-6 seed. Rather than a 1 or a 2 seed.
Well, there's certain
teams. Because then they get the target on their back and then they play like shit.
That's like Michigan State's like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they ended up losing, obviously, to UNC, but they were ahead. They won their game of 64 really easily. And Michigan State is an 8-9-10 is like dangerous as hell. Michigan State is a 2. You're like, oh, they're losing week one. But this has been kind of the year for right now. I mean, it was all chalk yesterday.
Yeah.
Every favorite won. And I think in the round of 32, I think favorites were 11-5 against the spread even. So they're not only winning, they're covering. But it's the one year that it seems like to me that more than any other year that it's the teams that you normally plan on choking are actually winning games. Besides Kansas, Arizona's Kansas loss. But Kansas lost to a Gonzaga team that was like good. It was not like Kansas lost in the first round.
Yes.
You know, they're other than, you know, Auburn and what was the other upset? I mean, who did North Carolina State beat as the 11?
They beat Oakland.
No, who did they beat in the first round? Sixth seed. Oh, it was BYU. Like,
yeah, BYU, yeah. Like Utah State, BYU, no good basketball's ever been played in Utah. Let's just be real here. A few teams that I have to call out because they absolutely hosed me. St. Mary's pissed down their leg. They were
Grand Canyon. That was one of those everybody's on Grand Canyon, so they can't win. And then they win.
Well, yeah, see, but that's the problem. Like, when teams win that are supposed to win, that's an issue. Because this is March. We need fucking upsets here. Another one that really hosed me, I had Oregon. They take it to double OT with Tennessee and then just lay down and let fucking Tennessee pet their belly like puppy dogs. They were so gassed, made no changes. Who's that dude, Cuisinard? I think from Oregon.
Dude's a baller.
Absolutely clutched up like in the first overtime. And then in the second overtime, it legitimately looked like he wanted to lay down on the floor. Like, he was so out of gas. And it's like, dude, get the guy out of the game. They were throwing up dog shit. And you and I actually sat at the bar, got a little tuned up. What was it, Saturday night? And watched, it was Michigan State, which we were both on. Terrible bet on our part. No surprise. We were both on Michigan State covering 4.5 against UNC. And what did I tell you? Michigan State was down by like 6. And just based on vibes, I was like, this is going to be 12 or 14 here in like a minute. And it was. And UNC just pulled away, because you can tell when a team starts to panic and they start throw, like, you can see the one desperation shot that the underdog takes. And if that doesn't go in, the momentum is just throttled. Like, they give up a couple buckets, they go down, shoot kind of a desperation shot. If that doesn't go in, they're losing by 8 or 10 more points than they're down right now.
Yeah, the momentum in basketball in general is insane. But yes, when you get to March, it's even, like, Michigan State was up 12 within the first 5 minutes of that game. I was like, oh, we cash this dog big time. And they lose by, what, 20?
Yeah.
16? It was just a...
At one point, UNC was like plus 175 to bet on the money line. Oregon lost to Creighton. Watching their offense is awful. Only had one play. Oh, did they lose to Creighton?
Yeah.
Oregon did? Oh, I thought they played Tennessee. My bad. Yes, they lost to Creighton. My B. But yes, actually, Creighton is a very legitimate program. Like, they look pretty fucking good. So now this is where the good games start to like come in. Like, I feel like the first weekend is just purely volume. Like, it's just so many games to watch, so much action you have out there that's what makes it fun. But the second weekend is where you're getting like actually like good quality games. Like, Tennessee Creighton is going to be a great game. Honestly, I don't see one game. Marquette, NC State could get out of hand, but the way NC State looks, you never know. Houston and Duke is going to be a phenomenal game because Duke looks fucking great right now. North Carolina, I think, is going to roll Alabama. Iowa State, Illinois, sneaky good game.
Illinois is another one of those teams that's kind of broken out of the choke shell this year.
Yeah, they've kind of... Well, I don't think they'd been to a Sweet 16 in like 20 years or more.
Yeah, and they had like Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn.
Yeah, isn't Kofi Coburn, isn't he like sick offensively?
He used to. I mean, he's...
Oh, not, this is back in the day. Yeah. Who's their dude that this year is like super good on offense?
This is such a... He has some serious allegations against him.
Oh, yes. They're fucking... they're not good people over in Illinois, from what I hear.
Terrence Shannon Jr.
Yes, and he's playing very well. And I've heard of those allegations. And what a bad dude. Do not condone that kind of shit. And then UConn's probably going to beat San Diego State by like 25 because UConn's a wagon. So real quick before we get off, oh, and fuck New Mexico, by the way. God, they just laid a complete egg. I had them beating Arizona in the Sweet 16.
Damn.
I had them going deep. I took some flyers. That's March, you know?
You have to.
Yeah, you have to take flyers. One other flyer, I had Oregon go into the Elite Eight. I had Illinois playing Washington State. I thought Iowa State was going to choke. I had St. Mary's over Michigan State, and it's North Carolina, Alabama. Anyway, I won't keep hashing over my bracket here, but let's just... Give a national championship pick now that you've seen what's happened, what's transpired over the first weekend.
I actually believe in Houston now.
Wow.
Like, I did not. Like, good one seed. I think the games get to be, when these better teams play each other, like you're talking about, they get to be a more of a defensive,
a rock fight. Yeah,
it's not like this 80, you know, Purdue scored 106 points yesterday. Like, it's going to get to those, the old Loyola games where it's like 55 to 54 with like 2 or 3 minutes left.
And Houston's that's, built for that shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Houston's a team that's built for that. Like, teams like Alabama are,
but
not.
But UConn is also built for that.
UConn is built for that. Nobody's repeated in like 17 years, though. So I'm a little, but their coach, what do you think about their coach? In golf, it's funny. So relating it to golf, it's never really like this in a golf tournament because you're playing against the course. But there was a point in that first game, they were up 30, and Danny Hurley is like freaking out on the kids.
Yeah.
And they asked him, they were like, what is the deal with, like, what? Why are you, you know, basically, they didn't say this, but they're like, why are you freaking out about, you know, being up 30? And he's like, this isn't championship basketball. And so it's interesting to look at a sport where they're just blowing a team out.
Yeah.
And they should have. But he is having a Michael Malone rage timeout freak out on his team who's up 30. But it's because he wants more. It's like if you're, you know, Tiger Woods in the early 2000s, you're leading the U.S. Open by 10 and you don't birdie one of the last three holes, or you don't birdie the 18th when you have a 6-footer, you're probably still pissed off. And that's what greatness is. And that's why, like, UConn still, if I had a gun to my head, mortgage on the line, I'd take UConn right now.
Yeah.
But teams like Houston, I still won't believe in Purdue. They could hoist the national championship and I'll fucking still not think believe.
They're frauds.
Yeah. Same with Arizona. I just don't think they got it in them. But yeah, Houston looks good. That Houston Duke game is going to be a banger.
Yeah. 100%. Brendan, no, this is a golf pod, but shout out to the Avs. Hell of a comeback yesterday. McKinnon is winning MVP and so is Jokic. 100%, dude. You were at the game. What a comeback. That shit was electric as hell. I've never seen a team more comfortable being down goals. And then when they get one, especially against a team like the Pens, who have just been bad this year, especially in the later half of the year. But they just turned it on and there was no stopping them. Like, I missed. What'd they score, like 30 seconds into overtime? Like,
oh, yeah. It was just immediate. But being a Colorado sports fan right now, we own the winter sports.
Yes.
We have basically.
We are winter.
Like, we
is
have
that
the
John Snow?
Is that?
Winter is coming. Okay, well, that's.
Winter is coming and we are going to own it.
I just made a marketing thing for the Nuggets and the Avs. Like, winter is coming. In the middle of, like, they should post that shit in October when the Broncos are fucking have two wins and everybody wants to jump off the nearest bridge. They should just be like, winter is coming with the Nuggets and Avs logo.
Yeah.
Yes, we do own the winter. And like April and May is going to be so electric, hopefully into June. But yeah, it's so weird growing up in Denver because we always looked so forward to fall because of the Broncos and like them making a run. Now it's completely done a 180 where it's like, I love fall. Fall's my favorite season, said a million times. But I don't look forward to sports until like January, like when it's just Nuggets, Avs, basketball, hockey. That's my shit.
Yeah, we have two MVPs in this city.
Electric.
I want to know when the last time that happened is. I'm sure it's been fairly recent with...
I don't know, dude.
...professional sports. Like, if you consider baseball all four major sports having, like, the same calendar season, having an MVP, but...
Yeah.
I think it's very likely going to be in Denver, and then if we have two parades... This podcast probably officially ends in June or July of 2024.
Like, yeah, it's all over.
It was 2020.
One of us is
2020,
not...
2020, huh? Who was it? Oh, let's guess. What sports was it in 2020?
Well, let me make sure this is correct. Hold on.
I'm thinking...
It would be NBA and NHL.
NBA
2020.
Oh, I don't think that's right, though. Hold on.
Well, so that 2020... Was
COVID year.
Yeah, I was going to say it was the bubble year, correct? Did LeBron win MVP that year?
Hold on, give me a second. I think I misspoke.
Oh, fucking Marissa's. We need a fact check over here.
I'm looking. Hold
I know,
on.
I'm just messing with you. I really can't remember, honestly, the last time it was done. Speaking of champions, also, real quick, shout out. Caitlin Clark. Shout out to Iowa Hawks.
Well,
tonight.
Don't say speaking of champions. They're not.
Well, I'm
they're
sorry.
Big
speaking
10
of MVPs. Speaking okay. of MVPs.
Thank you.
Caitlin Clark is MVP of women's college basketball.
She's the MVP of women's basketball in the history of all
That's
time.
That's true.
She changed the game. She's Steph Curry this shit.
She is Tiger Woods in this shit.
Yeah. Like, so
she has single-handedly changed the women's game. That chick from Holy Cross giving her the people's elbow right to the chin, straight to jail. She needs to be incarcerated for that. And anybody that says that wasn't intentional, you are well, I don't even know if you're watching the same game because that was intentional as the day is long.
Yeah, it was if it would have been any other player, it wouldn't even really be talked about. I mean, it's still intentional, but
yeah, and you could just tell that chick just had like a public enemy number one looking face. Like she wanted to be the villain.
Yeah, they wanted to go down literally fighting against Iowa, and they still lost by 20. Iowa's got West Virginia tonight.
The Mountaineers.
The Lady Mountaineers.
The Lady. Yeah, is there a female term for Mountaineer? Mountainette?
The Mountainettes?
The Mountainettes. No. Marissa's just shaking her head.
She's like, fuck.
I was a Mountaineer.
Okay. A Lady Mountaineer. Fair enough.
We don't say that. We just say we're Mountaineers.
Oh, okay.
Mountaineers. We're just trying to give you your due.
Mountaineers it is.
Wait, ladies, we're basketball players.
Did you find that MVP stat or no? Who did it say?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's...
That checks out.
That could be correct.
Did he win an MVP in 2020?
In 2020?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Technically, it's not the same city, but same state.
Yeah.
Yeah, that checks out.
That's good. Yeah, I think you got it.
Damn. I hate my mind for this, but I just automatically go to like Boston sports. I'm thinking
because Brady won
Celtics.
So many.
I'm thinking like Celtics, Bruins, or Patriots. You know, Celtics, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Even though that city hasn't won a championship since what 2019,
feels like forever for some of those people.
Yeah, they're never gonna win another one, so they can. Bro, the Celtics aren't even gonna make the finals again this year. I think. Is that a hot take?
No.
I think the East is just a clusterfuck and they're kind of a joke. Like they're not a joke, but their win loss record in the regular season, they're like that ultimate like regular season team that I don't think can really pull it together in the playoffs. Like, has Tatum ever come in big in the playoffs? Has Jaylen Brown ever done it? Has Porzingis ever done it? None of them have done it. Like Al Horford has been there, but he's never won a championship either. So.
Yeah,
they're like the kings of like getting there, but not being able to get all the way there.
Well, they're like the Nuggets before they got through last year. So I'm not going to count them out. I think Nuggets Celtics NBA Finals would be just.
I just think they get so much hype during the regular season. It's hard to sustain it for that long. Like they're talked about so much. They're in the headlines so much. Similar to the Lakers. Like, I mean, the Lakers in the years past have done it, but they just get so much hype. Like, I think it is truly harder to win in those big markets because there's so much pressure and so much like the Nuggets winning was just like a happy surprise, you know, like an oops baby, like, you know, you didn't think it was going to happen, but it happened and you're stoked about it. But in LA or Boston, it's like you have expectations of winning. New York City, they don't expect to win shit because they've just been terrible at everything for a decade plus now. So, but yeah, the big markets are tough to win in.
Yeah, no doubt. Because here,
that's why the Maple Leafs haven't won a fucking Stanley Cup in 50 years.
Here we have like little man syndrome. There they have whatever else you call it.
They have hubris. They have they drive big trucks. They think they're big tough guys for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's get into a little bit of golf and our Winner's Circle Monday. So we're going to start it off. First of all, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Use the code ALLCITY in all caps when you sign up, and you get to choose between two offers of a first bet safety net, $1,000, meaning you get to bet up to $1,000. If you don't hit it, you get another chance at it in a bonus bet. Take another bet. You know, if you go one for two, you get all of your money back, and then you can start your account with that. Or you can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets to use on golf. That's what we do all of our betting on Bet365. Golf, the each ways. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep plugging away at the mountain until we have a winner. We'll give you out our surely to win picks on Wednesday's episode. But those are the two offers you get. In golf, like we talked about, the each way splits your bet into two and doubles your wager. So you get a chance to win on them winning the tournament, or you get a chance to win on them placing in the tournament, choosing between 1 through 5, 1 through 8, 1 through 10, 1 through 12. We might stretch that out again at some point based on our current record. But must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Also want to tell you about our great friends over at Coors Light. I consumed a few Coors Lights yesterday. I needed a moment to chill at Ball Arena. Avs were down 4-0. It was a slog. I was like,
can we credit Coors Light for the Avs comeback?
Oh, absolutely we can. Because I was about to leave. No fooling. My kid was asleep the whole third period. It was 4-0. I was like, hey, let's just might as well fucking beat the traffic, go home. Avs roofed one. I was slightly back in. I was like, well, stay until I finish my beer. They scored a second one right before the second period ended. And I was all the way back. And you just kind of knew right now they just have that look in their eye, especially at Ball Arena. And Coors Light was the one that saved me from leaving the game yesterday, because if I wouldn't have had to finish my fucking $18 tall boy because of principle.
Worth every dollar.
I might have left the arena, but I didn't. So when you need a moment to chill, drink a Coors Light. Coors Light, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Real quick.
You can get that delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR.
Nothing better than a little Coors Light sitting on your doorstep. Anybody that doesn't finish their drink at a sporting event, that's like disrespectful on so many different levels. Like, first of all, you're there to have a good time. Second of all, that shit costs $20.
You know, Marissa's like smirking because she's a
habitual
an offender.
I do it all the time.
You just drink half a beer.
I don't even drink half.
So you're wasting money.
Yes.
Wow. Would you rather have a shopping addiction or just drink a quarter of a $20 beer?
I have neither. Well, I have one. I have the drinking. It's because it's too much. I'm too, like, I'll get fucked up. I can't have the whole thing.
That's the point. What do you, just like, I have literally never once in my life with alcohol been like, yep, I'm good right here.
That's literally yep,
this
me.
This is my spot. I'm fine. I'm done.
Nope. I don't have like a good, I don't know if this mic is all the way on. I don't have a good gauge.
So, me neither.
So it's either I'm all in or I'm not. So
me too.
I tend to like to stay on the I'm not side.
Oh, that's where we differ. I am all in until I go to bed.
Yeah, but Marissa, the other end, usually ends up with like a black eye. She can't find her phone.
Yeah, see, I'm not that much of a problem.
Yeah,
that might be. That's fair. I mean, you respect your limits and you respect them. I respect that.
Thanks.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. What golf are we talking about?
Let's talk about a little Nelly Korda, first of all.
Okay.
So this is Nelly Korda is obviously one of the most talented players out of the United States of all time.
Oh, yeah.
From the United States.
Yeah.
On the LPGA Tour. So she has won back-to-back or two of her last three starts. And in between her last start and this start, she took 7 weeks off. 3.5 weeks off golf completely, then 3.5 weeks of just practicing, comes back and wins in a playoff over Ryan O'Toole.
Oh, Ryan O'Toole. Bro, she was a big break member like circa 2011. She's been around for a while. She was like one of my favorite players on the big break. Do you remember her?
I don't think I do.
Yeah, she was on like big break Ireland, I want to say. She was on a couple of them, but Ryan O'Toole, that's how I know that name. She's dope. But Nelly Korda, yeah. Can you imagine? So she's probably made $700,000 or $800,000 between those two wins. And you're like, I'm gonna make $400K, take almost 2 months off work, chill, live my life, enjoy myself, and then I'm gonna go win another $400K, $500K. Like,
yeah, that's just how she's just ultimately talented. She's only 25 years old too.
Yeah, that's which is insane. I mean, but I will say a lot of women's golfers, they generally seem like they peak a little earlier than men's golfers. Like a lot of the PGA Tour guys, and maybe not now, but back 10, 15 years ago, it felt like dudes didn't really win until like their late 20s, early 30s. But with women's golf, it feels like if you're 18 or 19 and you're not winning yet, then you're like a journeywoman. Journeyman? I don't know what term I'm supposed to use there. But you're like a, you're not elite, you know, if you don't come out and win as like a teenager. So Nelly being 25, that's like being like 35 on the PGA Tour, in my opinion. Because I would love to see, do they have an average age of the LPGA Tour versus the PGA Tour? Average age of members? Because I would bet the LPGA Tour has got to be significantly lower than the PGA Tour. And maybe also it's because a lot of women don't play, like, continue to play professional golf into their 40s. Because there's still quite a few men that do that. How are the stats looking over here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we'll see. This is from getnux.org, professional golf statistic. The average age of a male professional golfer on the PGA Tour is 35.1 years old. The average age of a female professional golfer on the LPGA Tour is 24.4 years old.
Yeah. See, how insane is that? Like, you're over the hill. Marissa, you'd be a grandma on the LPGA Tour right now, and you're 28. Like, that's insane. You're not a grandma, obviously. But the fucking age discrepancy is insane. Like, think about that. Nelly is over the average age on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, that's nuts. And it feels like she's barely started her career. Also notched her 10th win, double-digit winner, and she's back in first place in the Rolex women's rankings. For Nelly Korda is right now the best female professional golfer, I guess you can just, you know, you're say professional, yeah, on the entire planet.
I don't think she's won any majors yet, has she? Do we know this? Sorry, I keep asking for stats.
No,
I don't think she's won a major yet.
I thought she won the major where they jump into the pond.
That's the one in California. Holy shit, we are just killing it with these Nelly Korda stats here. Wow. I do not think she has won a major. I feel like Google should be faster
than that. She won a major in 2021.
Oh, okay. First major
was,
what is that major called? Because the women have five majors. That one is, it's at,
she won the KPMG Women's PGA Championship.
Okay.
At Atlanta Athletic Club.
Oh, hell yeah.
2021.
That's a great venue. Okay, so I was wrong. Hand up. Not my first time being wrong, not my last. But yeah, I love watching Nelly Korda play golf. Talk about, and they always talk about this, like, ladies' golf swings have, generally speaking, on the LPGA Tour, they have so much rhythm and such smooth tempo that it just feels like you can watch it on repeat all day. Like, it's almost gets boring because it's so repeatable. Like, that's what I feel like watching women's golf sometimes. I'm like, it almost, I wouldn't say it puts you to sleep. Like, that's a mean way to say it. But you know what I'm saying. Watching them, it's just all so, like, calm. I feel like you have no hotheads on, like, the LPGA Tour. They're all just, like, super low-key, super chill, super smooth with everything they do. And they just go out and shoot crazy numbers.
Yeah. Their, like, follow-throughs are so just, like, smooth and, like, complete. It's not like jerky. It's not fucking.
And they're always like on balance. You never see them fall off balance. Like, they're like machines. They're made in a lab. They just repeat the same golf swing over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Like, in all honesty, like, when I was getting better at golf, and like a lot of people who are looking to get better at golf, I would honestly recommend watching the LPGA Tour if you're looking at mechanics versus the PGA Tour. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, if you're trying to watch Scottie Scheffler and recreate what he does, you're going to be in a pretzel.
Yeah, you're going to have a you're gonna have hip surgery in a month.
I think women's sports are all like that, though.
You think so? Yeah. More fundamentally sound?
They have to be, because they don't have like the jumping and like basketball. That's not true. As fast. I mean, I can't jump as high, so everything's more technical.
That is true. Like watching Iowa women's basketball team, it's just like a very technically sound, well-oiled machine. Like a lot of these women's golf swings.
Yeah, we have a video here of Nelly Korda. Once again, if you're listening to this podcast audio version, we appreciate you. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a rating on our show. But we're on YouTube every single week, Mondays and Wednesdays. So make sure to check us out. YouTube.com, Big Drive Energy Golf. And the funny thing about this.
Number one, intermittent.
Oh, no, go. Play it. We're good. She'll say it, but she says she's aging herself. And it's like hilarious to hear that come out of the mouth of a 25-year-old. Now, she's been on tour for her first win was in 2016, so it's been a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So she won when she was 17.
Yeah. So it feels like a long time, but hearing a 25-year-old say that as a 30-year-old, I'm like, "Ah, you ain't seen nothing yet." I'm clearly old as shit. All right, let's play this bad boy.
A return to number one in dramatic fashion. You always like to make it a nail biter down the end, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I definitely love that. I'm aging myself really quickly out here.
A return to number one in.
So number one in the world. Shout out Nelly Korda. And just shout out the golf they played. Unbelievable conditions. Like windy, fighting it. It was not.
It was California, correct?
Yeah.
Like the Carmel area, like
it was
near Pebble Beach.
I have the exact course name. Oh boy. Had it.
We are just absolutely fumbling our way through this LPGA recap here. Marissa is nodding her head in approval. We're doing our best.
Palos Verdes Golf Club.
Okay, in like Palo Alto. Is that
why you keep fucking piling the questions on? Literally says from Palos Verdes Golf Club in California.
Oh, okay. I just figured Palos Verdes reminds me of Palo Alto, like in the northern.
Marissa's laughing. I think it's my pronunciation issue.
What?
Last night I called black. Mitchell was looking at shoes and I called it onyx.
Instead of onyx?
Like the color. And I got roasted. Yeah, it's onyx. Onyx. Or is it onyx?
Hooked it's on onyx.
Whatever.
You need to be hooked on onyx.
All right, let's move on to
Palos Verdes Golf Club.
Oh, God.
Is
here we go.
Right outside of Rancho Palos Verdes. and also, right next to it is Palos Verdes Estates. So we really fucking dialed that one in. It's like south of LA, like near Long Beach. California is just so weird in general. Like, I don't get the landscape out there whatsoever. Also, I'll never understand why they build these golf courses like a block from the ocean. Like this golf course has like, it's not on the ocean. It's just like a little bit ways away from it. Oh,
probably because of the views.
Donald Trump owns a golf course right there. Must be a nice spot.
Must be a stand-up spot. All right, we're going to move on to the DP World Tour. Mitchell, take it away.
Okay, so the winner this week on the DP World Tour in the Porsche Singapore Open, his name is Jesper Svensson, but that's not who I want to highlight. I want to highlight Kyrdek Effie Barnrat, because he's a DP World Tour legend, and honestly, PGA Tour legend, vape legend. He's into Yeezys. I don't think that has aged well for him, because he's legitimately so. One of the stories, there's a lot of stories about this dude. I swear he's like just a legend of, like, they call him the John Daly of Asia. Some people do. I think that's kind of lame. But a few fun facts. I read this whole long article on him where Alan Shipnook, that fucking crooked ass journalist, golf journalist, went over and like did like a profile on him in, where does he live? In Thailand. I think in Bangkok. So he did this whole profile on him, and I got a few good tidbits from it. So his dad, Kyrdek Effie Barnrat, let's do a little overview. He has won like 8 times on the DP World Tour, but the reason I want to talk about him is because he has lost almost all of his status at one point, like 2 or 3 years ago, and has been clawing his way back. Like, he's been at PGA Tour Monday qualifiers. He's been like working his ass off to get back here. So he eventually got it into the playoff, over in Singapore, lost in the playoff, but still a second place finish for him is awesome. But so I read this whole article on him. And so Kirdek's dad owned an ice company in Singapore, which apparently is like a monopoly because it's so hot there that they can't like keep ice. So I guess ice is like a massive commodity over there. So they were all loaded. And then when he's loaded as in like a lot of money, not like hammered, maybe they're hammered too. But so then when he got into golf, Kirdek, come to find out, which is not his original name, but I'll get to that. So when he got into golf, his dad completely like gave up his job that like he owned the company, but he was working, like running it. He just left his company basically. He was still owned it, but left the company to help him, his son, improve at golf. And like when he, I guess when he was out in the rain practicing, his dad would just stand there and hold the umbrella over his head.
Like, damn, it's just,
or when it was
dedication.
Over, yeah. So his dad dedicated like his entire basically professional life to his son, which obviously has paid off because his son is super successful. But then the ice company went tits up. They filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, no.
In like 05 because his dad left his job and wasn't running it. So it went bankrupt. And so the family like lost everything, had to sell everything. And so I guess when like bad things like this in your life happen over in Thailand, you go. So Kirdek went to a Buddhist temple and spent a week fasting and praying with monks for an entire week at a Buddhist temple to like maybe get rid of the bad energy that made their ice company go bankrupt. And there he changed his name. So I guess Thai people, they, I guess it's very common in that area of the world to change your name, to change your fortune. Like if you feel like you've had bad luck with your current name, you just change your name.
Damn.
Yeah. So his original name, I wrote it down and it's a mouthful. Like this is going to be, it's going to be so bad. His name was Anujit, A-N-U-J-I-T, Anujit. And what do you think?
Anujit?
Yeah, maybe Anujit? You don't pronounce the J, but the last name is Hir Unra Ten Tanat Nakorn. Here, I can't even like get it out in one. It's Hirunratanakorn. Like, you look at that word and just tell me the first thing. Like, try to read that.
Hirunratanakorn.
So that was his original name. So he like renamed himself the Barn Rat. Like, he gave himself Affy Barn Rat. So that's, I almost feel like that's why he embraces that name, because he's like, yeah, I picked that shit and people like it. But he actually said too that he enjoys like the PGA Tour crowds more because they're more like into his style and they like appreciate him and his vaping and shit. But he's also like a big car collector, has a bunch of Ferraris. He kept a separate condo. He lives in one house, kept a separate condo just to keep all of his clothes so his wife didn't see it. He kept a completely separate apartment just for his shoe collection and all of his clothes and shit.
What a legend. We actually have a picture. Marissa's going to pop this up. For those of you on the YouTube, you got to take a peek at this fucking guy.
The man is a legend. Like, everything about him, thick boy, I can appreciate that. His swing is pretty unique. But have you ever heard of the Thai spinner, the little, like, pitch shot, the chip shot that's, like, taken TikTok by storm?
No, I have not.
So I was honestly hitting the Thai spinner before it was, like, a...
Is it the MIGS spinner?
Yeah, it's the MIGSY spinner. You put the ball off the outside of your back foot, and you basically pick the club straight up. You take like a sand wedge or a lob wedge because you want loft to create spin, and you de-loft the absolute shit out of it. You put it off the outside of your back foot, and you will just like pick your hands up and drop the club on the back of the ball, and it comes out like super, super low, but it has all this action on it. And I guess a lot of the Thai guys grew up hitting it because it would get you through the fringe because it's so spongy and would like grab your ball. So instead of putting, like that was kind of like their version of the Texas wedge.
Okay.
As a Thai spinner. So you can actually see there's some videos on the internet, on the interwebs of Kirdek hitting these Thai spinners that are fucking sick. And they're one of those that like skip like a handful of times because they're so low. And then they just like rip back at the last second. So they're very aesthetically pleasing golf shot. I don't know why I just thought about that, but it was because of Kiradec. So anywho, shout out to the Barn Rat finishing second. Hopefully, fingers crossed, he can get some status back on the DP World Tour. And then hopefully the PGA Tour. I think he's got some status on the DP World Tour, but I would love to see him back in America because he is an electric factory on the PGA Tour. And whenever he's in the field, he's like a must-watch dude because he's just got a great personality. He hits crazy golf shots. He's not afraid to like take risk on the golf course. So he's one of those guys that even though he's not a big name, he's, I feel like, must-watch PGA Tour play.
Yeah, there's a story of him, like when you just Google him, there's a story of him and the cover photo is him vaping, just blowing this massive cloud on the golf course. And it says, Kiradec Afri Barn Rat continues to golf so he can buy Yeezys and Ferraris.
Yes, that is that. I think that was the article I read. That is like, he's just literally living the dream. And I guess his wife is a professor at the big college in Bangkok. Like, she's very, very smart, has like an MBA and shit. They maybe met in America because I think she was living in America. And now I think she lives over in Singapore. Is it Singapore or is it Bangkok?
Singapore is not in Thailand.
Where is Singapore?
I have no idea.
Oh, I don't want to get into geography again. That never goes well for us.
No. Nope.
I think she's either in Singapore or Bangkok. But anywho, I just want to give Kiradec Afri Barn Rat a little bit of credit. And Jesper Svensson. I have no idea who that is. Also want to give a quick shout out to Andy Sullivan. He's one of my all-time favorite, like, no-name DP World Tour dudes because he does a lot of, like, social media shit. He set the course record at this week. He shot 63 in the second round. And they let them wear shorts this week because it's so hot over there. I think it was, like, 95 degrees and, like, 80% humidity.
Sounds awful.
Honestly, credit to Kiradec because being a fellow thick boy and playing in that kind of weather, it honestly makes it harder to play well. Like, I can only imagine how much that dude was sweating. And I don't really want to think about it, but it's definitely hard to play really good golf when you're just wet as fuck. Like, you're just soaked the entire time. Your clothes, of course. But yeah, great DP World Tour event. I watched a few highlights. It was good shit.
Good shit. Fucking, we got the Kiradec Afri Barn Rat story. Now I'm more into watching him for sure.
Yeah, his name. We can try to remember his actual name. Enyjit.
That was a rough scene. All right, let's move on to the PGA Tour. Talk about like a life-changing win for Peter Malnati. A guy rolls up to a PGA Tour event, Valspar Championship. Notably one of the, I'd say probably top 5 to 10 toughest courses on the PGA Tour circulation.
Yeah. It's definitely a player favorite for the certain type of guy. Like, it is very demanding tee to green.
Yeah, and Peter Malnati goes out there, yellow fucking ball, bucket hat, and wins this tournament. And I think
he's basically the grandson in Caddyshack.
The entire event was, there was a different guy leading every single day. And the next day that guy was snake pit.
Playing like shit.
Yeah, they went through the snake pit.
I think
16, 17, 18, but
yeah,
completely shit themselves the next day. So
the weather was terrible. Like, credit to Malnati, he shot 4 under in the final round to win that event. Like, where there was a lot of guys, like, I tweeted out earlier in the week, I was like, is this the US Open or the fucking Valspar? Because we had dudes shooting 80s, like 82s. I mean, it is a tough course, and I know the conditions are tough, but you rarely see that at a regular PGA Tour event, like dudes firing in the low 80s.
Yeah, there was just so many funny moments from the week of, obviously we're talking about our betting guys, but like, I had Sungjae Im, and he shot 44 on the back nine on Friday and missed the cut completely. Like, it wasn't even close. There were so many guys.
Well, and then Sam Burns at one point had it 3 under par because he was on your betting card. We'll get to that. And then he was like 3 under through 6 or 7 holes. I'm like, fuck, dude, he's... Here he comes for another Valspar win, and then proceeded to shoot, I think, 1 over in the first round and then never really put it back together. Like, no. He made the cut, but he did not play well.
No, he didn't make the cut. He missed the cut.
Oh, he missed the fucking cut?
Missed the cut. Cut. Chopped. Scissors. Justin Thomas lost 7 strokes on the field putting on Friday. So strokes gained turned into strokes lost, and Justin Thomas was a good 7 strokes lost on Friday.
No shit.
That's how bad he putted.
Wow.
He missed a foot. He did a Josh Seipel and missed a fucking foot and a half and didn't even sniff the hole. It was one of those weeks where if you're like an average golf fan and don't entirely care about your Scottie Scheffler's, Victor Hovland's at the top of the leaderboard, like the players last week, but actually just kind of watched guys like struggle, just
play golf.
This was the week for it. And Malnati ended up just being he just won the war of attrition, essentially. Like it was Cameron Young almost won. He bogeyed the 18th hole, and then Malnati ended up making birdie on 17 and finishing 18. We actually have a video here too of Keith Mitchell. So I thought Keith Mitchell was going to run away with this thing. Whenever you see a leaderboard full of guys that you don't really know, and then a guy that you do, you're like, oh yeah, this guy's going to win it. Kashmir Keith finished on Saturday the snake pit in 7 shots. 3-2-2, he finished.
That going attack insane. Mode here from the fairway.
And this is funny because he's eyeing this thing.
Well,
he's
got fucking dirt in his eye. From 150.
Just cans it.
And he
looks up.
He's like, no way.
He didn't even see it.
That's electric.
He got dirt in his eye, holds it out. He still has his caddy for the
729.
Yeah, he asked his caddy for the putter so he could go fix his ball mark. Fixes his visor.
12 under on the back nine.
He is such a villain looking dude. Like the way he walks, the way he dresses.
And when you haven't won in 5 years and you keep banging on the door and you see something like this note of drop, you say to yourself,
what a golf shot.
Yeah, and he was 10 under par, 2 strokes clear. Like I thought for sure it was just. I thought it was just over, but he ended up shooting 77, crisp 6 over par on Sunday.
Oh my God.
He didn't even finish in the top 20.
Just fucking.
Absolute disaster. One other quick note that was cool about the Valspar. I don't know if you guys all watched it out there. If you didn't, they let the caddies choose the names on their bibs.
A lot of people were putting like their Twitter handle, right?
Yeah. I saw one X guy. Handle. One guy had like Macy's dad. So he was like,
that's
pretty
dope.
Yeah. He was pretty proud of his kid. Fucking Bobby Mack. Did you see what he had on the back of his jersey or his caddy's jersey?
No.
Europe 16.5, 11.5 USA.
Oh my God, dude. That is, I love that for him. Actually, that's electric. Also, we just got to say it once again, Cameron Young with another second place finish continues to, not win. He has the most second place finishes for a non-winner on the PGA Tour, I think, ever. Or he's got to be right up there if it's not top of that list, which is not the list you want to be on. But he now has 7 runner-up finishes in the last 3 years. So that just sucks. Sucks for him.
Yeah.
And he just can't finish, dude. He putts, like, you watch him hit range balls and you're like, this guy should win 25 times on the PGA Tour. He is one of the most talented dudes, ball striking wise, far and away. And it just goes to show you, you got to have all the elements of your game going because you can't just hit it good enough to win a PGA Tour event.
Unless your name's Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Okay. That's true.
A couple other good caddy names here. Luke Donald had Now Hiring because it was his caddy's last week.
Oh, that's fire.
So his caddy was going around with Now Hiring. Joel Damon had Leaping Cougar.
Oh, because he's a Washington State guy.
No, it was a name he was given as a kid during his time with a Christian youth organization called the Royal Rangers.
What?
Garrick Higo had Higopotamus.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty dope.
I like that.
Kevin Kisner had Kiz. K.H. Lee had Mr. Incredible.
Sounds a little cocky.
Josh Teeter had Now. What time is it? N:OW for Now. And that's the only time that matters. Sick.
Hardo.
Carson Young had the other C Young because of Cameron Young. Young is kind of the more
how sad does that have to be? Like the other C Young hasn't even won on the PGA Tour and you're just that much less recognizable than that dude.
Well, there is another funny thing just name wise, phonetics name for the, I don't know if that's even correct. I just know that's a word.
Phonetically.
There was 7 Kevins in the Valspar Championship. So they did like a Kevin leaderboard. I think 5 of them missed the cut, but it was just a Kevin.
Bad week to be a Kevin. You yeah. just get a clip of Kevin from The Office dumping the whole thing of chili. Like, that was Kevin's at the Valspar.
One more quick clip we have to play here from Peter Malnati. Super, super emotional post-round interview. This guy hasn't won since 2015. The last time this guy won a PGA Tour event, what do you think the number one or what song was released in 2015 on November 9th?
I'm going to say Dark Horse.
Love Yourself by Justin Bieber. That's how long it was.
Wow.
Since Peter Malnati won the Sanderson Farms.
Marissa, are you a big Bieber guy? Gal? Gal. Yes, gal. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You like Biebs?
I like Biebs.
Did you like early Biebs or late Biebs?
When he hit puberty and his voice changed a little bit, you know, that was kind of the uprising of him, I think. He has a good voice.
Okay. Yeah, he's very talented.
The number one song in America at that point was Hello, It's Me.
Oh, Adele?
By Adele.
Good. Damn, that was 9 years ago.
And then this is a good one. So this was the day, November 9th, 2015, that the World Anti-Doping Agency recommends Russia Federation be banned from all Olympic athletics due to running a state-supported doping program.
That's wild. We got the Olympics coming up this year. I'm pretty stoked for that.
Yeah, I'm stoked for the
Xander Schauffele might win.
He might actually win one.
Might actually dub.
Famous death, no, November 9th, 2015. Ernst Fuchs, an Austrian artist, dies at 85.
Wow.
It's probably Fuchs.
What about...
but his name...
It's not
Can
Otis.
You imagine if your name was Ernst Fuchs? Mr. Fucks.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's play this clip from Malnati, getting our feels a little bit. He's holding this kid.
What did you draw on coming down the stretch to become a winner out of this bunch leaderboard?
I had no idea. I told myself I was going to do my best on every shot, and that was what I did. And I was so nervous coming down the stretch. A lot of those shots, you kind of see it in the, you know, the approach into 16 was terrible, but I was just, like, just... You can't describe it. It's so cool. It's so cool to share it with
Carson Wentz.
He does look like Carson Wentz.
Maybe
it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
He kind of has Carson Wentz eyes.
I mentioned that it's been 9 years. Can you describe what that weight has been like to get this second win and get to celebrate with Hatcher, Dash, and Alicia?
Like, Dad, are you supposed to win?
You wonder if you're ever going to do it again, you know, because it's hard. And, you know, in the 9 years since my last win, it's gotten a lot harder, too. Like, if you look, like, the level of talent out here, guys coming out when they're, you know, 20 years old and they're ready to play on this stage and they're so good. It's just, I mean, you just wonder, like, and so to have this moment, oh, it just feels so amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, my family believes in me.
Can we stop this?
I've got the best caddy.
Talk about saying fucking nothing. Like,
shout out to Peter Malnati.
Yes,
because
it's just like,
no, it's a lot.
That made me laugh more than it made me get in my feels.
It's a little
just
emotional.
Like fucking,
but when you think
awesome, so cool, so nervous, like. My brother in Christ, of course you're nervous. You haven't won in a decade.
Yeah,
I think he's just said nothing of any value.
Right. I think where it hits home just in general of golf is like the fact that he hasn't won in 9 years doesn't...
Everybody's fought the demons like that.
Yeah, and that's his career. Like if you don't keep, if you keep not winning, you don't just get to keep playing. You know, like it's not like an NFL where you just sign a different contract, go to a different team if you're not that good. I mean, you obviously get kicked out of the league at some point.
I think
that's
kind of how sports work. Like,
well,
you don't
most
just,
sports,
if
but
you're bad,
directly, like this directly just affected his next 2 years.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the cool part is he's going to play in his first ever Masters this year.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Like,
yeah, that's
to be 36 years old and qualify for your first Masters. I'm sure he probably had kind of thrown in the towel on the idea that he was ever going to qualify for a Masters again. So, yes, very happy for Peter Malnati. Real quick, can we pull up our blacklist? So we started this last week because I hate Tom Hoagie and I never want to see his face again. But I think Spencer has somebody to add to that, and I am on the bandwagon with this.
We are adding to our blacklist after he screwed us already once this year.
Yes.
Losing in a playoff.
Yep.
To Nick Dunlap.
I had him that week, yep. And then I picked him again last week.
At the Players.
Pissed down his leg on the weekend.
Great Friday. Thought he could be in it. Pissed down his leg on the weekend. Won this tournament twice. Missed the cut. Sam Burns, you have been added to the blacklist. You will never, ever be bet on by the Golf Bros again. Probably good for you. You'll go win now.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll set you free.
We love you, so we'll set you free. That font's going to have to get smaller, though, because that list is going to get fucking long.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna
that list it. Is going to be 3/4 of the PGA Tour. We should just honestly make a fucking sheet of people we should bet on, and it's just Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be it.
Yeah.
Because Cameron Young, if I would have had him this week, oh, I would have been a disaster. I would have been a disaster again. One real quick last note. Peter Malnati made $1.512 million. On winning the Valspar. The last tournament he won, granted, Sanderson Farms, $748K. So he won twice as much money winning in 2024 than he did winning in 2015.
I mean, yeah, the purses have gone up when you win in a different decade.
Yeah, I mean, Cameron Young, who got second place, still made $200K more than he would have made in 2015 winning a tournament.
What really like blew my mind when PGA Tour purses got so big was that guys finishing in like second and third place were still making over $1 million. Like growing up, the winner of these tournaments would make $1 million and then it would drop off significantly. So now you see like dude finishes third at a major and makes like $1.2 million. You're like, holy shit. That's like insane. You don't have to win to make like $5 million on the PGA Tour a year. Like the money is just the PGA Tour may be the only job in America that's kept up with inflation.
Yeah, that's a very accurate statement.
Like, nobody else is getting those kinds of pay raises out here. It's fucking hard in these streets.
It's hard out here for us. All right, let's finish it up with our mulligan of the week. So mulligan of the week is something that happened to us that we wish we could have a mulligan on. Mitchell, you want to kick us off this week?
Yeah, so this happened. I'm a Zen connoisseur, for those of you who don't know. No free shout outs, but you know, it's Zens. Like they're not gonna pay us, but they should, because I'm pretty sure I should own stock in Zen at this point. I should own a small portion of their company. But I got a little frosted flaky. So when you open a can and you have one that's burst open and it's covering everything, it just gives you that extra little pep, gives you a little textural sensation. So it's always kind of a nice surprise. You're like, you miss a pouch, but you've got that little salt floating around in there that you can do with what you'll please, generally ingesting it one way or the other. But I had just salt sitting in the bottom of my can. I was a little tuned up at the time, so I wasn't thinking 100% clearly. Had maybe a few too many Coors Lights. Shout out Coors Light. And I was looking in the bottom of my can, there's all this salt, and I just decided to blow on it, like blow it out of there. Dumbest fucking thing I've ever done. This week, right into my eyes, just nicotine salt into my eye holes, right on my eyeballs. It burned. It was not a fun sensation. So I just wish, you know, when you just like make a snap decision, like in like a couple seconds for something that really shouldn't affect you very much, but then it ends up really affecting you and you're like, wow, I should have thought that through.
Oh, I 3-4 times a day for me. Usually that's something that happens to me. My mulligan of the week this week. So I last week was bringing a BLT for lunch, but I didn't have any bread. So I was just going to go. I just had like lettuce was my bread. I love lettuce as bread. So it was just going to be bacon, tomato on lettuce, on a lettuce wrap, essentially. No,
that's basically a salad.
Okay, well, excuse me for not eating bread.
I want to talk about this. Where does a BLT land on, like, because I'm not a big BLT guy.
Oh, I love them. They're missing
something. No, like they're not a full sandwich. They don't. Maybe it's cheese. I'm such a big cheese guy. Maybe throw a little cheese on a BLT.
I'd do that. I'm sure you could do that.
But just a classic BLT, like. Lettuce and tomato really don't have that much substance. Bacon kind of does, but you're getting nothing. I feel like it's the least filling sandwich you can eat.
Yeah, probably. But it's a fairly healthy sandwich if you're going to eat a sandwich. Relatively. Long story short, I'm eating a BLT lettuce wrap. So I make the bacon at home, bring the lettuce from home. I'm like, fuck, we don't have a tomato. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'll go get a tomato at this fucking Choice Mart over here, which has been pillaged. It seems like every time I go in there, there's like two things on the shelf. So I buy a fucking singular tomato for $4, get to work, forgot the fucking bacon and the lettuce. So I have this fucking tomato sitting on my desk all fucking day. No BL, just T. And it was fucking unfortunate.
Oh, and you remembered to go get a tomato, yeah. But you didn't
remember. I parked in a certain area, so I had to walk by the choice, so I'd remember to get the tomato.
So you 100% thought that you had it with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I opened my backpack, and I was like, oh, I don't have the B and the L. I'm out. I'm just going to eat this tea raw.
I don't have the B, and I'm taking the L by just eating the tea.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
All right, Marissa, your mulligan of the week?
Yeah, well, you saw it on Instagram pretty much. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, I fell down the stairs of my... Well, I was dragged down the stairs of my house because of my dog, but...
Sounds like your dog has behavioral issues.
He's really good at going all the way down the stairs.
Mom. Yes.
No, he's not his
no,
fault.
No. We've trained him. We have trained him.
It's not his fault. He chases the geese.
Did you train him to pull you down the stairs?
Well, so there's two things. One, Christian tells me all the time that if I'm going to go out in the snow, I need to wear good quality shoes. Because if
that
I don't,
is not rocket science.
Well,
you
I don't
should be doing that.
I don't like having to change shoes, and I was wearing my Crocs.
You wore Crocs out in the snow.
Yeah, I was just trying
that's
to
a fine move.
I was just trying to get downstairs. All right, sir. Thank you.
That's like you might as well not wear shoes because they have so many holes in them. Your feet are going to be covered in snow anyway.
That's not even the issue. There's no traction on them.
True.
So we're going down the stairs and it's like during that ice part of the storm yesterday or whatever. And so Dune did really good going down the stairs all the way till we got to the bottom. But there were two geese that were sitting out on the lawn and he just dragged me. And I thought
I just let go of the leash.
See, that's a smart idea, and I should have done that. But I
then wouldn't he be like gone forever?
No, he comes back. But I literally like it was like a jet ski. He like took me, and then I couldn't get like any like of my feet solid
like
on the ground.
Traction. You're like leaning back, getting pulled by something, and you're trying to like dig your heels in.
The snow literally. There were lines, and Christian the entire time. Is up at like in our balcony recording all of it and just laughing.
He knew chaos was coming.
He knew what he was about to transpire.
Yeah, so
good on him for getting it on video.
I will never admit it to him.
Did you like bust your ass?
I really hurt my hamstring. I literally thought I went to the gym today and I had to sit there and stretch it for like 30 minutes because it hurt.
God damn.
So
dogs, man, what are you gonna do?
It's my child, not my dog. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, we've been over this. Your dog mom, I get it. Yeah. Shout out Jokey. Speaking of dogs, third birthday yesterday.
Yeah, so. My dog turned 3 yesterday. He's officially an old, like he's not a puppy anymore. Yeah. 2 is puppy age, 3 is not.
But he still acts like it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's going to act like a puppy until he's like 10.
Yeah, which is, I'm fine with.
He's just got so much energy at all times.
Just a lot, but I like it. Most of the time, it's fun.
I feel like.
I wanted a dog that reacted. Like that was one of my, like.
You want like a jumpy dog?
Yeah, I want like if you jump at a dog, I don't, my old dog, great dog, greatest dog ever, Sammy, but he would just like, just stare what? At you. Like you couldn't get him to react. Now I do, I fucking go a little sniff on Jokey's ear and he's like freaking out. So like that's
so
what
just
I,
for the pleasure
like
of fucking with him.
Yeah, I like a reactionary dog. It's more
that
fun.
That is the most out of bounds fucking description of what you look for in a dog that I've ever heard.
Well, that was, I mean, I enjoy it. It's
like,
more fun
that's
that
like
way.
Basically like you should have just got a fainting goat.
That would have been cool.
You can have Dune. He runs up and down the stairs 50 times when you look at him wrong. So there you go.
I don't. Well, no, I'm not going to say that.
all right. Wow.
That is going to wrap this pod up. Tune in Wednesday. We'll be live at noon Mountain Time, 2 p.m. Eastern for our weekly episode of Big Drive Energy. We're going to talk about the upcoming tournaments this week and some other topics that we were going to workshop in the next few days. So make sure you have a good rest of your Monday. Go Iowa Hawkeyes. Go Caitlin Clark. I'm hoping for a rematch with CU with the same outcome this coming Saturday. Hawkeyes, Buffaloes, but I'm not going to overlook the Mountaineers, the Lady Mountaineers. We are going to just
Mountainettes.
Just got to take care of business tonight. Move on to the Sweet
Survive
16.
In advance.
Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Peace.